You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Another crazy day in the World Cup. And by the way, today's episode is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Let's go. Wow, this World Cup, I mean, it's day four. Yeah, boys,
it feels like day 57.
Like, bro, I feel like, yo, I think I put in a stronger shift than some of these players at the World Cup, man.
Bro, I'll tell you this much. I know I showed up at 5 a.m. I don't think Germany showed up to their game today.
Oh, Justin.
Bro, all the big clubs are, well, not all of them, but all the big nations, a lot of the big nations are struggling in ways that is really starting. We have to ask these questions. Are some of these legacy nations not really that legacied anymore, bro?
Okay. Look, just like a kid trying to get into Harvard, you're going to need that. You're trying to be a legacy and mm-hmm. continue the legacy of your wealthy parent. But it's,
you know what this reminds me of? When you and I started stand-up and they were like, the joke was like, this guy's special comes out on YouTube. And it was like a diss.
Right. I mean? It was embarrassing.
And, yeah. And they're like, oh, this guy is super funny. He puts a lot of skits on Instagram. And you'd be like, why are they dissing me, bro? And then you meet someone who does Instagram comedy and you find out how much money they make. That moment right there, everything that goes through your brain, that's how this World Cup feels like.
Yeah,
Are we the OGs, dude?
We did it all wrong, bro. Doing stand-up. I'm trying to be I Show Speed and bark at the camera, all right?
Bro, you think I can't mispronounce players' names and celebrations?
Bro, I can do it.
I've been doing that for real for years.
Welcome to the Cooligans World Cup Daily, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
The World Cup is here and has been absolutely wild. It's just been four match days, and up is down, down is up. The countries that you think just absolutely have it in the bag, and this should be, you know, you always have that easy game, that quote unquote easy game. Yo, that's not how it is anymore.
First of all, there's no such thing as an easy game anymore. The easiest game might be Iran, dude.
Okay.
That might be it.
All right.
Everyone else has come to fight. I even thought Canada had a chance, dude.
I mean, did they? I was surprised Belgium created any chances. So we'll get through all those.
We'll talk about it all.
All those games. We got to make sure we remind or announce, because we haven't mentioned it on the show. Did we mention it on the show? I don't even remember anymore.
I think we did.
Yes. Or reminder, this Friday, OS NYC. It's an absolute.
You know, when you say reminder, that's what makes it feel like we're about to get homework.
Okay. Yeah. Pop quiz. Everybody listening to the podcast.
That's immediately where my brain goes. When he goes reminder, I'm like, oh, we got to do chores now.
Yeah, because I was the kid. I was the kid to remind the teacher, like, hey, didn't you mention we were going to have homework?
Be honest. Were you? Because everyone thinks you're telling the truth.
No, I wasn't that kid, but, you know, I wasn't too far from it. Okay.
I can tell.
I sat next to that kid. That kid was my homie, you know?
Yeah. He's like, what Apple are you bringing for the teacher tomorrow so I could bring a different one?
So, but this Friday for the U.S.-England match, we are going to be hosting a watch party at OS NYC. So if you are in New York, in the tri-state area, and you need a place to watch the game, that's also free. You don't have to pay to get in. So
we ain't making any money on this. We just want to hang out with the fans. And here's the truth. The owner of OS NYC is English.
Yeah.
He has invited all of his British friends. We can't let this happen, bro. Not in our country. We need to show up in numbers, bro. So if you are rooting for the U.S., Come through, OSNYC. I don't know if we're going to stream. I don't know what's going to happen. All you know is Christian and I are going to be there. We're going to hang out. We're going to watch three lions get murdered one by one.
Okay. Damn, yo.
No, we're going to watch.
PETA's going to be on site, okay?
Bro, PETA's going to be throwing red paint on everybody, bro. But, yo, they got drink specials. The bar's going to be open. They've got it's just a dope place. You wanna celebrate the big America victory? You could celebrate by playing Mario Kart for the next right, 4 hours.
Right afterwards, yes. So, they have an absolutely gigantic 20-foot screen that we'll be watching the game on, and it's gonna be absolutely dope. So come through if you are in the area.
You're gonna feel like an ant watching on a regular TV, dude.
Okay, yeah, that's what I love the visual. Yeah, I just want to feel like a tiny little insignificant little ant.
You know, okay? Actually, psychologically, there's a lot of credence to that. People want to feel like when they were little kids and they used to run under like the dining room table.
Okay, well, what a great sell. What a great reason to come to a watch party, you know?
Buddy, so you can reconnect. You might not want to go to the inside.
You can reconnect with your childhood trauma, all right? That's what we're here for. Man.
Remember when you were running under the table to hide from your dad coming home?
Come through. Doors will be open at 1 p.m. Eastern, 1 hour before kickoff. So come through OSNYC. We'll see you there. All right. The World Cup. Have you heard of it? It is been pretty crazy. Thank you to everybody who's joined along with us throughout this journey, these daily episodes. It's we're exhausted. I'm like, you know, sometimes people think like, oh, you guys just tell jokes about soccer. That's not a job.
That means we have to watch it all.
We have to watch it all. Then we, you know.
I'm not going to lie to you. I woke up to watch Morocco versus Croatia.
Yeah.
And then I woke up again after the game. I don't know what happened, but somewhere along it, I just completely zoned out and fell back asleep.
Yeah, I fell. I did watch Morocco Croatia in just the hope that something would happen.
Give me something.
And bro. I did it. I didn't. We didn't get the you know Argentina Saudi Arabia repeat.
Remember how lit that 5 a.m. was?
It was a ruse for us to get teased by that 5 a.m. game. Mm-hmm. Said, you know what? You gotta wake up for the 5 a.m. games because look at what could happen. And they got us.
Teased, dude. It was a tease.
Okay. We were bamboozled. Hoodwinked.
I thought, I'm like, yo, Morocco's going to win 7-9. I was like, it's going to be crazy. But at least we got it back. I mean, was there anything to talk about in this game?
I mean, not really. I thought the one thing, I had tweeted this. I said that the game looked like it was being played in fast forward. These were the fastest human beings, the fastest 22 people I've ever seen doing the same thing together. It was
21 and Luka Modric. Luka was there. He was taking it easy.
Okay,
he's
yeah.
He's got 37-year-old legs, this
it
guy.
It is his last World Cup, but
it might not be. Don't put that on him, bro. This guy feels timeless.
At the very least, it did feel like Morocco, they weren't intimidated by Croatia. Obviously, Croatia was in the final in the last World Cup, but this Croatian team seems like they're not I'm not gonna say they're not young enough. They do have a couple older players, but they're not the same team from 2018. They didn't have that creativity that they had in 2018, and they were pretty strong throughout the tournament. This is just their first game, so who knows exactly what we're gonna see, but to me, there was not much to discuss here. Not a great game by any means. Bless you.
Had a sneeze. Thank you. And that sneeze had more action than Morocco, Croatia. 65% possession for Croatia, kind of what you expected. Hakimi, I think, man of the match.
What a great player. Ashraf Hakimi is a great player, and maybe because he's at he's at PSG, but where was he before? He was in La Liga.
You know what's funny? Hakimi is one of those people that if you told me he was on Chelsea, I'd believe it. If you told me he was on Manchester United, I'd believe it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Just a great. I just love watching him play. He was in Inter. Inter.
Yeah, he was in. He was. That's right. Inter.
Yeah, yeah. Because so
and he was in Bundesliga before that. Okay, I believe.
So I'm looking at. Oh yeah, so he came from Real Madrid. He was at Real Madrid for 3 years. Only had 9 appearances. He did go on loan to Dortmund.
Dortmund. That's where I remember.
That's when I was. I think that when the world was really introduced to Hakimi, and he won the Scudetto at Inter Milan, and now at PSG, he's just a great player. I mean, watching him in the U.S. Morocco friendly a couple months ago, just a guy you just it's hard to not root for him as well. He plays for Morocco, but he was born in Spain. He speaks Spanish.
Right.
That's all I saw an interview with him. I'm like, yo. I like this guy, but and he's an absolute baller.
I don't know why he has an Argentinian accent in my thing there. I think the star of this whole thing was Croatia's kit. I love it. I'm a big checkerboard fan.
Yeah, and the restaurant Checkers.
Yeah. You know what? Low key fire fries. And by the way, speaking of Checkers, shouts to Derek Etienne, which I don't know if it's confirmed yet, but the rumor was that he's going to be going to Atlanta United.
It was I think he was being courted by the club. Ooh. Also, Garth Lagerwey leaving Seattle Sounders, the general manager for Sounders going to Atlanta United.
That's right. And he said it's a dream come true.
Bro. Connect
shade being thrown in Seattle, bro.
So that's it's a World Cup show, but anything can happen. Yeah. You know what?
It's a World Cup show, but I do want to say Gareth Lagerwey's statement was cool. He said he wants to go there and fight and win.
Okay, very inspiring.
It took a couple pauses in between it. Look, there's nothing incredible about this game, besides the fact that it was a 0-0. And I think most people would have expected Croatia to have come out a bit more, quote unquote, brave, come out a bit more going after the 3 points. It seemed like they couldn't get it going for the little bit that I saw in the highlights. Does this throw, a little bit of a wrench in the group?
We can take a look at the group real quick. And they're in group F, right?
F.
We're looking at it on screen. We essentially have, Belgium at the top, obviously, with 3 because they beat Canada. We'll talk about the game in a moment. I think the biggest losers here, the obvious ones, the one who lost, Canada. But this, after watching Canada play against Belgium, the result for Croatia and Morocco, I think that it's a great result for both of them because I honestly think Canada should top this group after watching that game against Belgium. That's how good they were.
Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Should top the group.
They should top the... They, to me, out of...
We're going to do this again with the should.
they, after watching them play today against Belgium, who is the country we expect to top the group, after watching these 90 minutes, I would say, I saw all the teams play today. Canada, to me, is the best team in that group. Right now, even though they lost in that game, which they got unlucky, but
which you kind of stole the thunder of my point. How could you say that with them having lost to Belgium? They're not going to get an opportunity to beat them again. So obviously their next games are going to be against Croatia and Morocco. They're good enough to win those games for sure. I'll admit that. But if they're not good enough to beat Belgium and Belgium is currently at the top, how are they the team that should be at the top?
Did you see? Okay. I mean, so should we? I want to talk about the games in order, but we don't have to because did you see?
I don't understand. What is the point of talking about it in order?
Because it's how people saw them. Whatever. Canada took 22 shots. 22.
How many of them? How many of them didn't end up in section 138, row Z?
You don't. All right. You don't think Canada was better than Belgium?
No, I think Belgium was so wide open. And Batshuayi was so bad at moments that it gave the ball back to Canada, and Canada did what it did best, which is spring and attack. But they look like a bunch of chickens without heads running around that pitch. I'm not saying they look bad, and I don't think that this system can't work, but I wouldn't sit there and say they can duplicate that over and over. The best player on the pitch to me was a frustrated Kevin De Bruyne. After him, honestly, Tage Buchanan.
Yeah, Tayshaun was great. Yeah. So, okay. I mean, we're agreeing that Canada was better than Belgium in that game, even though they lost. They looked better. You don't think so? 22 shots. And
I think they looked penalty. Better than I expected.
Bro.
Missed a penalty.
They didn't miss a penalty. Courtois stopped the penalty.
Yeah, saved it. They didn't score on a penalty.
Look, yeah.
Those are parts of being a good team is being able to score, and they weren't able to.
I agree with that. But Belgium also looked really bad. I mean,
Belgium looking bad, dude. Someone in my group chat said Belgium been lying to us for 10 years. Yo, Belgium,
they look terrible.
Ain't that good? And they ain't that good, but they're better than Morocco and they're better than Canada and they're possibly better than Croatia in a head to head. If Croatia,
look, anything can happen in a World Cup. I'm talking about right now, not legacy, not, you know, the history of each country. As of right now, I would say Canada could top this group. That's how good they are. That's how surprised I was.
Are you chewing on a random mushroom you find outside before these shows? You have said some wild things.
I didn't think they would top the group.
Canada looked good after today, where I'm like, they look like they lack a certain discipline. They look like they're willing to attack at all angles. They look like they're willing to attack whenever they get the ball. And that's impressive. I'm not saying I wasn't impressed, but you can't walk away from this saying that's a team so good they should top the group. I walk away saying, yo, they've got the pieces for a run if they were given that chance, but they're missing some things. They need to unify as a team, but Canada soccer is on its ascendancy.
Okay.
In fact, if anything, that team that you saw felt like the 2010 U.S. team to me.
Okay.
Good pieces, but there's no unification there.
I mean,
it's just like
it's their first World Cup.
I don't know who else to say.
It's the first World Cup in a long time. But I thought John Herdman had them playing incredibly well. I thought they looked great. Fine, I guess we will just agree to disagree.
What part? If you don't mind me asking, because I'm really interested.
I thought Alphonso Davies, I thought was
when he was defending a midfielder or when he was a forward.
That's what. Putting him all over.
The only thing he didn't do was goalkeeper.
He was going 1v1. He was in the midfield. He was. He clearly has that role to kind of move around. I thought there were poor decisions made. You know, Jonathan David just didn't pass. There were a couple of times he just didn't pass the ball when he should, and he took a shot instead of passing it off. There were just moments like that. Just a little miscommunication. A little bit. I think missing the penalty hurt them psychologically a lot because then they became
100%
desperate to get that first goal for Canada.
It also became just another hurdle.
Right. Right. So. This was, I thought they were spectacular.
Is it because you had low expectations?
Partly, but the stats in the game don't lie. I mean, they took so many shots. They had more chances, more on target, and Belgium were not good. I don't think Belgium is going to have a good World Cup.
I don't think they will either. I think this is the end of their quote-unquote golden era. I do think Lukaku healthy completely changes how this team plays, and we can't forget, we can't just look over that. They clearly need a target man. Clearly. They've got the wingers, they've got the midfielders. Kevin De Bruyne clearly wants to link up. I've never seen someone look as frustrated with their forward as he did. Yeah. Batshuayi had moments I thought was getting paid under the table in maple syrup. This dude was missing easy passes, was passing the wrong way. I think a positive change happened when Onana came in, who's, obviously him from
Everton.
From Everton. But also another young player. I just think Roberto Martinez is just not getting them in the zone like they need to be. They still seem very sporadic at moments. And the way Batshuayi played, I know he scored, and it was a great goal, long ball, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Went completely over the midfield, caught the one of their, I can't remember who, one of their defenders, the one who kind of looks like Hedge.
Vittoria. Steven Vittoria. Yeah.
He kind of like try. He whiffed at it.
Yeah, yeah, he missed
it. As soon
it,
as
yeah.
it bounced, yeah, that was it.
It was a good ball. It was a great ball.
The first rule is center backs shouldn't let the ball bounce on the long ball, but he did, and there you go. They paid for it.
He wasn't going to catch up to it.
I mean, he should have tugged on the shirt, do something. Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I think we were all more impressed with Canada than when we came in here expecting. But you can't walk away from that, especially at the end of the game when they had moments. Kyle Aaron's header, a little too soft. Maybe Kyle Aaron came in a little too late. The one thing I say about Kyle Aaron is that dude just finds goals in the most mysterious ways. He'll score falling down. He'll score, you know, off the shoulder. He'll score a header. He'll sneak in a late run. He's just one of those weird dudes who just finds a goal. Bringing him in, I believe, in the 70th minute. I'm not exactly sure when he came in. I could look it up, though. Came in the 58th minute. I guess maybe I take it back. Maybe he came in with enough time. It just felt like maybe he should have started.
I thought Belgium got lucky in the fact that they did call the one penalty from the Yannick Carrasco handball, but then the foul to Tayshaun Buchanan when I think it was Alderweireld that passed it back, and it passed it back to Tayshaun. They said it was offside, even though there was a foul, which was not offside because it was a pass back from a Belgian player to a Canadian player. Even though he was in an offside position, he still passed it back to him. I thought that was a terrible call. He did get fouled. And then the other one, Axel Witsel fouling, looked like he kind of fouled Richie Larea. I could see that one not going their way. But the one with Tayshaun Buchanan, that to me was another penalty. I don't understand the decision to not call that.
Yeah, I think the one thing to come out of this whole game was Tayshaun Buchanan just kind of leveled up. I mean, he showed that he could play at the highest levels. I believe he's at Bruges right now.
He is,
yeah. But obviously used to be with the New England Revolution. But he showed that he is – the players that you would have said, like, oh, they're in Europe, probably would have been Jonathan David, Alfonso – from the Canadian team, Alfonso Davies, and Tayshaun Buchanan. And you would expect them to be, like, in Bundesliga level. Expect him to be like in maybe Ligue 1, like a top team in Ligue 1 level, not Bruges. No disrespect to Bruges, but clearly he's going to be getting offers.
Yeah, yeah. And that's always like the, kind of the fun part of the World Cup where I went to the Total Soccer show, live show in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Shout out to them. It was a great experience. But somebody in the audience asked a question like, who's going to get the James Rodriguez World Cup award of like player you don't expect to actually, you know, burst out into the scene.
Doesn't actually earn it.
I mean, did he won a couple titles after
becomes a streamer in Saudi Arabia.
But I'm trying to think of who could that be after, you know, seeing the matches that we're already seeing. Is anybody that
it might be somebody on the Saudi team.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot his name, the dude who scored the game-winning goal. But I could see that. You would need a couple more because James had a couple great goals. I mean, he had the banger that went viral against Uruguay.
That was your Uruguay, right?
Yeah. So we haven't had that yet. That unbelievable moment. I mean, maybe the I think the Saudi team, it was just a team win and it was such a shock, but any particular player have Hamas level? Not just yet, but we'll keep an eye on it.
You know who it could be is that midfielder from Japan, Endo.
Okay,
he looked good, bro. They were
Endo
tacky,
played in Toronto, right?
Did he?
I believe so.
Let me look that up.
If I'm not,
let me look that up, bro.
We got to get to that that game, Endo. Oh, maybe it's not. He plays at Stuttgart. There is the other Endo.
Stuttgart, yeah.
There's another Endo that plays obviously in Toronto.
Japan. That was to me the one team where I sat there in the first half, and I don't know if you had this moment, and you said I said to myself, like, yo, why isn't Japan better at football yet? You know? Like, I was looking at Maeda, I forget how you pronounce his name.
Yeah,
I believe he plays for Celtic. I was looking at him, and I'm like, damn, man, he is, like, gutting it out as a forward, but he's not really a forward. And then I was like, yo, where's Tomiyasu? The guy's a beast. He played really well at Bologna, plays incredibly well. I know he doesn't start, but he plays incredibly well and is very multifaceted. He plays left back. He can play center back. He can play right back. I was like, where's Tomiyasu? And then all of a sudden, you see the kind of jitters go away for Japan. And yeah, you see that, like, that passiveness that they sometimes have when they're playing a big country like Germany. And they start kind of, I don't want to say bossing the midfield, but they start to put their influence in the midfield a little more. And it was really impressive. And I'm like, yo, maybe turns out they are good.
Yeah.
And I didn't see them winning, but I saw the equalizer coming.
Yeah. You saw it. And I felt that way after Manuel Neuer made that save, that huge save, a couple minutes before they actually scored the game winning goal. But that second half, you know, the first half, they only got the goal because the keeper, collided with, I forgot who he collided with, but you saw positive things from Germany. Obviously, they had a terrible World Cup in 2018, but Jamal Musiala is clearly the future.
Musiala and Serge Gnabry, those are your stars on Germany.
Just, you can see they were influencing.
And obviously, Gundogan.
Gundogan also had that chance that hit the post. There were a couple great chances for Germany.
Yeah, no, but their XG is like 3.8.
Yeah, yeah.
They were getting chances, but
the goalkeeper, the Japanese goalkeeper,
Gonda. You have to take those moments. Like, this is what smaller teams do, right? Like, smaller nations do, is you have to defend. Hope things break your way and capitalize on your opportunities. And Japan did exactly that. One of the funniest things about how the world of football works is you could watch a player and be like, yo, this dude is maybe not having the greatest game, but skill set level above and beyond. Jamal Musiala being one of them. I don't know if you're looking at it, but do you want to guess what his team rating was, what the match rating was?
I see it right now. Yeah.
Okay. You could have played along. Good job. 5.8 is horrific.
Yeah, that's not good. But I mean, it's I wonder why it's that low, because I feel like he played a better game than that.
That's what I'm saying. It's not indicative of the quality on the ball.
Yeah.
When he had the ball at his feet, he was dictating what happened for both teams. He was pulling the strings.
Yeah.
It was really, really impressive to watch. And I believe he could have picked England as well as his nation.
Yeah, yeah.
But he went with Germany. So shouts to him for being a pro-American, bro, by not picking England.
They got the penalty. Obviously, Gundogan scored the goal. But yeah, Germany didn't look bad. I wouldn't say that at all. But
no. But they are missing that kind of killer edge. There's something
maybe
about them.
But I thought Japan had just one of the best games they've ever had at a World Cup. They looked awesome. I mean, and I was getting, Tim Howard versus Belgium vibes from the goalkeeper. He was just there.
They won.
But he was just there when they needed him to be there. He had that sequence where he stopped three shots in like, 40 seconds or whatever. And and you just need to have those games from time to time. Mexico had it when they played Germany. You just need to have these special moments. And but it seems to always, right, the pattern seems to be that those special moments happen against Germany.
Germany's the team to have a special moment against, bro. They're your rebound day, dude.
So, yeah, just one of the best games they've easily ever played for Japan. And in that second half, after they scored that first goal to tie it, you just feel it. You just feel that it's coming at some point. And the goal,
the callback at the end of the match, at the end of the first half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would have destroyed Japan.
Totally.
You can't walk into the locker room just having gone down 2-0.
The goal from Asano, Doan, Ritsu Doan. He scored the winner.
Sub. Dude, the sub scored the both goals.
Right, right. But the ball that was passed to him was, pinpoint perfect. But the
who was it? Do you remember who was? I think it was Endo.
Who got the assist? The assist, or it might have been the center back.
Oh, no, it's Itakura. Yeah,
Itakura.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The ball was perfect, but then the touch, bro. The touch was to trap that ball at the speed he was going and to keep it moving. He just didn't slow down his pace as he's dropping the ball. He looked like a wide receiver who's not turning around to get the ball. He's just looking up and make sure it falls in his hands. But the confidence to trap that ball and keep going forward, and then you got a defender on you, and then Manuel Neuer is right there in your face, and he with the composure to blast it to the roof of the net. So impressive.
He hit the fuck at that button.
He hit the fuck at that button. It's on the PlayStation. You got to look closely at the controller. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You might have different controllers than we do. We get ours at Bodegas, bro.
The Caribbean controller is a little bit different. Right?
It's a little different. They sent a different one down there. I don't know why. The USB has a couple different extra connections. it was impressive. You know who else was really impressive to me? Obviously, Raum is an incredible defender. They can overload Schlotterbeck or Schlotterbeck, whatever, however you pronounce his name.
Uh-huh.
The kid loves to get forward, man. The kid will leave his line.
Schlotterbeck?
Schlotterbeck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a wild one, bro. He's like, yo, what if I just switch sides real quick? Defensive ball no one's thinking about.
Did you see the moment that it's becoming a meme with Antonio Rudiger? Remember he did the high step? Usher the ball out.
He hits Tig's gear, bro.
My man's doing the can-can. I don't know what. You're going to pull a hammy.
I will say, dude, Rudiger is one of those defenders where I'm like, damn, man. I know he's at Real Madrid, but I wish he played for my team, bro.
Oh, no. He's
just baller. Something about him. Rudiger. Like, he's stern when he needs to be. He's fast when he needs to be. He's graceful when he needs to be.
Yeah,
he's soft when he needs to be. He's just one of those dudes where I'm like, he can literally do it all from that back line. It's really impressive.
Didn't he score that like banger for Real Madrid like two months ago, 3 months ago? Remember? Yeah, he's.
I don't remember now.
Yeah, yeah. The dude's a beast. He's a beast. But
they got him on a free, by the way.
Sure, good business from Chelsea. You know how they do.
Chelsea's like, bruh.
Lovely organization.
Like, no. I don't know why you put it a notch. You lost money on that. No,
like, again. Oh, you know what?
What do we do with Christian Pulisic?
Before we get into the next matches, we should mention, as far as the news that we have now, that Manchester United, it looks like the Glazers are looking to sell.
They told their bank to handle the sale, but that's been already been talked about.
No, this news came out today. This was this morning.
Didn't we recently talk about that they were like considering selling the club like 2 weeks ago?
Nope.
Was FSV.
Yes, that was FSV. Liverpool, yeah. They are selling the club. So this is new from the Glazers. Some people, some Ronaldo stans are basically like, oh, he did it. He's the one who made it all happen. And it's like, all right, to me, he's just another example of the dysfunction at the club. I don't know why you think he did something right here.
Also, really, please, guys, be careful what you wish for.
Right.
Everyone thinks like the Glazers are going to sell. And the next guy who's going to buy is literally an inflated soccer ball. You're not going to get this idea of a custodian. You know, that loves the club and loves the sport, bro, that don't exist. This is a billion-dollar sport now, bro. Mm-hmm. You can't get the guy who owns sportsdirect.com. Dude. He's .co.uk. In fact, who's buying this? Don't have a .co.uk, bro.
And billion-dollar business is beyond underestimating how much it is just Manchester United alone. People are suggesting that it could sell for $4.5 billion. That's the number I've heard. So a lot of people
10% of what Elon Musk paid for Twitter. Think about that.
Right. So it looks like the I think the conversations are there. The Glazers, that's hit the brand of the Glazers just being involved in this club and probably being involved in football is somewhat done. I mean, it's just they got what they needed out of the club. you know, cash out, figure out what you like. I just don't know how can you just deal with your name being constantly slandered? You can't. They probably can't even live in Manchester and do anything. Like, people cannot stand.
They don't. They go to Manchester once a year. They don't care. They're in Tampa, dude. They're high-fiving with a new. They're, you know what they're doing? They're thinking about divorcing their wives so they can go out with Tom Brady, a newly single Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Bro, they do not care. And I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it. They did not bleed the club of assets. They raised the value of the club to a point where you wouldn't have been able to do it otherwise. It would not. It didn't happen to any of the other major clubs. It happened to all the ones that Americans own, and they didn't have to put in, state money like Manchester City did. This idea that they stole money from the club is so like antiquated. It's such a dumb way of looking at finances, bro. We make money in this country, fam. That's what we do. Okay, that's you know our, what else we do? We get 3 points against England, bro.
That is look. That's in the cards. That's our future. There was one more game that we have to discuss. I mean, we have to play some Spain, very sad Spain. Music. Spain versus Costa Rica, another CONCACAF team who we, you know, and in these games, us CONCACAF people, we're like, all right, we got to root for the CONCACAF country, even though they're
I like, stopped saying that about 4 goals in. I was like, yo, these ain't my people. I don't know what these people
are. I really can't believe Costa Rica were that bad. I mean, Spain are good. I mean, they're good. I mean, let's not take anything away from them. But this is, embarrassing.
There's nowhere in CONCACAF where you're going to face this quality of passing, this quality of possession. There just isn't. And literally, I mean, let's be honest. Let's look at Spain's lineup. Okay? Up front, you have Olmo, Asensio, and Torres. In midfield, you have Pedri, Busquets, and Gavi. On the back line, you have Alba, Laporte, Rodri, and Azpilicueta.
What, say that again? What's that one? What's that last one?
Azpilicueta? Azpilicueta?
What? You know how to say it. Why are you saying it?
I call him Aspi, dude. Azpilicueta.
Azpilicueta.
All right, sure. Out of all of those 10 people that I mentioned, be honest, on any other team, how many of them are midfielders? I think 8.
On any other team, how many of them are
midfielders? In any other nation, how many of them are midfielders?
8.
Asensio's a midfielder. Almost a midfielder.
He's a winger. But yeah, I can see him in the midfield.
A midfielder. Pedri's a midfielder. Busquets is a midfielder. Gavi's a midfielder, obviously. Jordi Alba, quite possibly a midfielder.
Okay, I mean, he's a solid defender. I don't want to go that. But, I mean, everybody in Spain can pass. So this was a stat.
Rodri is a midfielder, bro.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, he's the
Aspi and Laporte are the only defenders.
Azpilicueta is also a wing back too, so you can kind of see him as a midfielder as well.
Bro, they fielded a 0-10-0.
But the I saw this stat on Twitter. Somebody in England had tweeted this. I don't have it in front of me. But they said that so Spain completed 978 passes in this game. Which is more
in history,
which is more passes than the team Wycombe Wanderers. It is 978 passes in that one game is more passes than Wycombe Wanderers completed in the entire month of November. In that one game, which
can I ask you a question though? If you are a member of Wycombe Wanderers, you're thinking, What do you say fuck me for? That's what he said. Why are they catching strays, dude?
What a great set. And I'm sure there's plenty other teams across the world that, you know, fall under the same, stray bullets. But
I think that's more passes than were shown on We Are Wrexham or whatever that show is. Saving Wrexham.
But pretty remarkable. I mean, look, Spain was playing again.
They have it here, 978 passes, 94% completion.
I found the tweet. It's from a guy named, he's an Opta analyst, Duncan Alexander, and here's the exact tweet. He says, Spain completed 6 more passes in that first half than Wickham have in League One in November. So not even the entire game. The first half, they completed something like 500 and some odd passes.
Jesus
crazy.
Christ. Hey, you know, of those 978 passes, 513 were in their own half, or within the opposition's half.
It's they might as well have been playing a like high school team. I mean,
they surrendered Keylor Navas, dude.
I mean, I went into surrounded. Keylor, I mean, you know, we never usually get to see Keylor Navas, you know, get pelted like that. But they just Costa Rica.
He got undressed, dude. I mean, he looked like a shell of a human being.
He also, there were, I think, and Landon Donovan in the broadcast mentioned that, like, you know, an informed Keylor Navas probably stops. I think it was the second or third goal. So, look, I'm not going to put the blame on him. It just seemed like Costa Rica barely showed up to defend. Once they started giving up goals, you just lose the motivation to keep fighting. And I just didn't expect this. Oh, look, Costa Rica just crawled in into the World Cup. They had to play in the Intercontinental Playoff. They didn't really look that great in qualifying. And a lot of people have been pointing out, like, they have just old players. And somebody pointed out that some of the players are too young and too old. And there's not, like, that new generation of like, veterans to bring on the younger players is not really there. They like Brian Ruiz,
yeah,
is still on the team. He's 37 38, you know, old guy. I mean, that old soccer old. But the there has to be other strikers that are, you know, are available, and they just look really, really bad. They remind me of Peru in the 2018 World Cup.
Yes.
Just completely not ready for a tournament. But Costa Rica has been in World Cups fairly often, so that's why it's probably more shocking than Peru, because they hadn't been there in a long time.
They haven't been, but they also don't look as good as they do in CONCACAF World Cup qualifying. They just couldn't give them a game. They just couldn't make it tough for them. They were just getting passed around. Don't look at it. But what do you think Keylor Navas's rating is?
I mean, it has to be.
Don't look at it.
Under 3.
It's 2.3.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was bad. He was bad.
That's rough. I didn't know. I've never seen Oscar Duarte. For some reason, I don't really remember him from the qualifying. He's a 33-year-old center back. Plays for Al Weida in the Saudi Arabia League. Which are in 12th place, not great. He at moments where I was like, he looked like he had just not given up on the thing, but he just at moments looked like he was not getting any help. He looked completely lost back
there.
He's
just like, he's like, bro, Calvo, I need to get a new job, bro. I can't keep coming in. my boss is on my ass, bro.
Man, this is starting to get stressful, bro. But Calvo looked completely out of his depth.
Dude, well. I mean, we obviously seen Calvo at MLS for years. And
he makes some major mistakes sometimes, but he typically can play well. Like, you know, I remember when he was in Minnesota, you know, it seemed like there were moments where I'm like, oh, he can solidify a backline. He did not do any of those.
He did not. And he's in Chicago now, right? Is he still there? He's not. No, he's – No,
he's at Konyaspor in Turkey.
Okay, so he got sold maybe last season or something. But, yeah, he's
– whatever you got paid is too much.
It's – look, he's not – I mean, look, as far as a reliable center back, it doesn't feel like he's the guy because, I mean, look, the track record hasn't been great the last couple of years. But, yeah, I mean, just 7-0. You can't lose. It's a World Cup, bro. You can't what are we, Brazil? In the Maracanã? Come on, dog.
Right? You can't. Unless you're in front of your home fans at a World Cup in your country, you can't
be doing that. You can't. No, yeah. It's just a disappointing I mean, it's beyond disappointing. Just a.
The only shame is that they didn't play this game in that stadium that's made out of shipping containers that they're going to knock down after the World Cup. Because you need to sage this stadium, bro. You need to get the evils out of it, bro.
I think we just put the Costa Rican team in the shipping containers and send them back. Send them back home, bro.
You get your own shipping container.
Okay. People live in these sometimes. Yeah. It's like a new thing. You've seen those shows.
Yeah, they make hotels out of these things. You just ended in the beginning, phase one.
Okay. Well, look, yeah.
Didn't take 3 months.
When you see the fan hotels in Qatar, it's not so bad. Okay.
Honestly, it's the same thing.
You get a look. You even get those little fans that squirt water at you. All right.
Kinda, yeah. You got cool. A USB fan. There's no USB plug. But you got a USB fan.
So look, a bad result. Hopefully they don't look that bad in the rest of the games, but obviously you can't see Costa Rica they're gonna leave the World Cup without any points, most likely.
Who's up next for them?
Next up,
Japan.
Who? Yeah.
Rough.
Okay, so those are all the matches for that happened today. But so tomorrow is obviously Thanksgiving. We will not be recording a show, so we'll be reacting to the matches on November 24th, on November 25th. So make sure you stick, tune into that. And reminder, we will be on Friday at OSNYC. Watch party USA England. So how are we feeling? Let's get some predictions down since we're not going to be doing a show before that, another show before that game. US England, how are we feeling?
Do you want to do tomorrow's games first?
I mean, tomorrow's games are going to be Switzerland against Cameroon, Brazil, Serbia, Uruguay, South Korea, and Portugal, Ghana. So some predictions for those. Look, these are all these teams will be obviously playing in their first game of the tournament. I'm the one I'm most interested in is Portugal Ghana.
Portugal Ghana is going to be dope, but I'm also interested in Uruguay South Korea. I don't know, supposedly Son is healthy. He's ready to go.
Yeah. He's going to wear the mask.
I'm interested to see what South Korea. Dude's got screws in his head. So I'm interested to see who shows up.
And they ain't loose.
Bang, bang, bang. We miss that. So I'm interested to see which Uruguay shows up. Is Luis Suarez and Edinson Cavani a little bit past it? What's going to happen there? I'm interested in that. But, yeah, Portugal-Ghana is the game of tomorrow. Look, Switzerland-Cameroon, first match. I'm not really sure what to expect here. Nah, but this feels like a Cameroon win to me.
Sure. I honestly don't look. I haven't watched that much. I saw Cameroon in the Africa Cup of Nations. Haven't watched much of Switzerland. Who's on Switzerland?
Shaqiri.
Shaqiri. Xhaka.
Yeah, I think he's still on it. Granit Xhaka.
So they got.
Akanji.
They had a really well
for City.
They had a decent World Cup in 2018. So I don't know what to expect. I wish I could have more of a prediction, but it feels like Cameroon is probably the stronger team. But that's me guessing on recency bias alone.
No, you're probably right, but yeah. The vibes for me is with Cameroon.
Okay. Brazil, Serbia. I mean,
Brazil. Yeah, Choupo-Moting. I mean, come on.
Okay.
They got Onana in goal, who was supposed to go to Arsenal, but couldn't prove that he wasn't doping.
Right. He got a little trouble, a little pop out. Happens.
Oh, why? Because he swole?
Well, damn, all these haters, that's all.
Damn, dude, they don't believe in you, bro.
So
Uruguay-South Korea?
Uruguay-South Korea. So it is an interesting game. Cavani and Suarez are there. My main concern, Suarez hasn't played. His season ended with Nacional. He hasn't played in a while, a couple weeks.
But he's old.
He is old. So is Cavani. But they have Darwin Nunez, and I think he's going to have to carry a lot of that responsibility of, pressing. But I could see South Korea winning here. Look, Uruguay also in CONMEBOL qualifying had the they weren't that dominant. They won like big games against like the game against Colombia, both games against Colombia. They got points desperately when they needed it, and they you know and they kind of crawled in, especially with how dominant Brazil and Argentina won in you know on the continent. So. But I could see South Korea winning here. I actually would not be surprised at all, and I don't think it would be much of an upset.
They've got the funny thing about South Korea is if you look at the lineup, their keeper and all four backline defenders all have the name Kim, which is
I'm looking at it. Okay,
like the whole team is Smith, bro.
They're familiar with each other.
You know, you got, really. I'm gonna need y'all to get a couple different.
But look at this. Look at you got. There's five Kims. There's three Hwangs.
Okay, two of them I believe are related and play for the same team. The striker plays for Olympiacos. I believe he's on loan there. And number six also plays for Olympiacos.
Okay, that's remarkable. This is like there can't be any excuse about team chemistry, bro. Y'all know each other.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if Kim got our back, dude, relax. Kim, out of all five Kims, the one Kim you need to know is the dude from Napoli, bro. Number four.
The center back. Yeah, Kim. Yeah.
What, I don't want to get his name. Min Jae Kim. Dude, this kid is a beast, bro.
Yeah.
I believe he came from Butomi. Butomi?
I don't know.
I forgot where Napoli got him from. He was on loan. Oh no, that's the Kravitskala kid.
He came from Fenerbahce.
Fenerbahce. Yeah, he played really well at Fenerbahce too. Absolute incredible business by Napoli. But yeah, I mean, look, if you're the team that's probably going to win is Uruguay, that has like the betters are probably going with Uruguay. But the vibes is with South Korea, bro.
I agree.
The kids are a bit more wavy.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's gonna be. I could see South Korea winning that again. Yeah, I mean they beat Germany. Remember at the last World Cup. And Son is Son. He's always gonna be a huge threat. Anytime in any game, and he's gonna have to again. He's their best player. He's going to carry a lot of responsibility. But I could see it happening, without a doubt. Okay.
And obviously, there's Araujo, so you know, it's not like it's not like Uruguay showing up in top form either.
Okay. And then on Friday,
Portugal Ghana. What you got?
Oh, right. Portugal Ghana. So the main interest there for me is the Ronaldo drama going to affect how he plays on the field. Maybe now that there's some closure, you know, contract is terminated, he can move on with his life. Maybe that'll make things a little bit less hectic. But that's kind of...
Yeah, that'll get rid of the drama around Ronaldo.
That's what I'm going to be paying attention to. Literally, every single touch. What's he going to do? What's his frustration going to be? How's the team going to play? I don't know. As far as guessing who's going to win, I'm going to have to favor Portugal because, I mean, they have just a stacked squad. They have a great team.
Great team. Obviously, you got Bruno Fernandes there. You've got a bunch of great players. Leao is the one that I'm interested in seeing how he performs.
Yeah.
It sucks that he has to play with Ronaldo, who's going to try to take the shine because it's his last World Cup. But Leao really should be the standout star. He should be the breakout star of this whole competition. There's something about Ghana where I want them to win, even though they knocked out the U.S. in previous World Cups. There's something, again, vibes are with Ghana, but I think Portugal's too strong of a team.
I agree.
I'm looking at, dude, Lau. Lau's going to be a beast, bro. Just watch Lau.
Okay. All right. So Friday, Qatar will be playing Senegal, Netherlands against Ecuador, Wales, Iran, and then the big one, England, USA. I mean, this
is so quick. Wales, Iran.
I'm gonna say, Wales will win this. I don't think by many goals, but they might win 2-0. I say they win 2-0.
Okay. They haven't won in six attempts. Do you know that?
Wales.
Wales.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they haven't been at a World Cup in a very long time.
So. But I agree with you. I actually think they will play well against Iran, but I don't think they win. I think they draw again. They're going to be sitting with 2 points, and they're going to make things a little interesting for the final match of the night. Qatar versus Senegal.
I just want to
say it like it's a Latino country.
I just want to mention real quick. Did you see that the tweet from Tim Weah, that we found out that the last player to score against Wales at a World Cup was Pele. And so Tim Weah, put out an Instagram post saying that.
Did he call himself Young Pele?
No. He just said he was like, excited for my first goal at the World Cup and blah, blah, blah. And then Pele in the comments congratulating him. I can't find the actual comment, but here it is.
I didn't see this.
This was incredible. And he had you see Tim Weah. He's obviously happy about the goal on Instagram. And then Pele response says, congratulations. It was a beautiful goal. Keep dreaming. Dreams come true. Bro.
Oh.
If Pele is in my comment section, dude, I don't know how I would feel. Just absolutely.
It would blow my mind. If all of a sudden you're just, tweeting about whatever, and next thing you know, Pele shows up.
And look, and Timothy, his response was, he says, thank you, Papa Pele. It is such a blessing and an honor to receive such an inspiring message from the king himself. Thank you for everything you've done for the world and for us young black men. Grandes abrazos in Portuguese.
You know what's crazy is he was actually eating dinner with George Weah. Again, president of Liberia.
His dad.
Yes, his dad, obviously. He might have noticed this at that time. He might have been able to share this moment with his dad.
Your dad is George Weah. Your dad is George Weah. And yet,
you're just surrounded by greatness, bro. You've got your dad. You've got Pele. You've got your right foot. What an incredible.
Happy for the young man. I mean, what a great, support system to have, to say the least. Okay.
Imagine you posted something and George Carlin was like, saw your job as he's dead, but saw the joke, loved it, keep dreaming, dreams come true. You'd be like, the hell is George Carlin being positive for?
I didn't know he knew how to use Instagram. Damn, it's crazy.
Yeah, damn, bro. It's all selfies.
So, the other games are going to be Qatar-Senegal.
Qatar-Senegal.
Senegal should win easily. Qatar looks awful.
Netherlands-Ecuador.
This is an interesting one. Ecuador did look.
I don't think it's that interesting.
I think we might be surprised here by Ecuador because Netherlands.
I think you're definitely going to be surprised by Ecuador based on what you're about to say.
The Netherlands didn't. I wouldn't say they looked amazing in their first game. But Ecuador, I think, are going to give them a lot of trouble. So I can see a draw here.
Do you know that Ener Valencia is potentially doubtful for the game?
Yes, because he did leave the game early. I don't know how serious the injury he had was, but they're going to do everything they can to get him in the game. I know that.
He's going to get all types of horse placenta being shot at him. He's
going to pay all his child support. You're going to take care of everything.
Yeah. good. Yeah, you don't got to cover me up when I leave. I'm good. I paid everything. I think at the end of the day, this is Netherlands are going to beat them. I don't think it'll be easily because I do think Ecuador is a great defensive team, but I don't think Ecuador has the firepower they need. They don't have that moment of magic without Ener Valencia, especially without Ener Valencia, even if you have him, but he's not 100%.
All right. So now predictions for England, USA. How are we feeling?
USA wins 2-1.
Okay. Wow. After the game against Wales, after the first half against Wales, would have agreed with you. No problem.
I think that's the team that's showing up.
It's a little bit more up in the air than before, but I still think there's going to be some magic. I think Gio Reyna probably starts this game. I'm going to say, I feel a draw. I'm going to say 2-2.
I could see a 2-2 draw only because they're really good at drawing penalties.
Okay. Okay. And there's also some, I think Harry Kane might be doubtful. Ankle
supposedly
issue.
They did a scan. The scan is fine. It's not a serious injury.
Yeah.
And apparently he was training. He looked, he was limping. He wasn't 100%, but he was training. I'd much rather have a limping Harry Kane or Harry Kane at like 70% than Callum Wilson. I think Callum Wilson changes the way we're able to play against them. His link up is so much better than I know Harry Kane's great at assist, but it's a different style of play.
You think Callum Wilson would be a better option?
He completely unlocks their forwards. Yeah. Dude, what we want to do is we want to force the ball to the middle, to Harry Kane or whoever's there, and force them to beat us. If you got Callum Wilson, those shots are going to be coming from all angles. They're going to play a lot more like Manchester City.
The U.S. will have to play one of the greatest games. They need to play like Japan just played. They need to play like Saudi Arabia just played. It's going to require a lot of heart. I know that because not only the starting 11 for England are clearly very strong, but then when you go to that bench, it's like they drop Raheem Sterling,
Rashford,
and now you're dealing with Rashford, and you're dealing with Grealish, you're dealing with Foden. It's not going to be easy by any means. So,
But here's the thing: we've got pieces to slow them down. The player that scares me the most, I don't think Sergiño Dest is going to be able to keep up with Saka, because the problem with Saka is if you start to guard him tight. He starts to draw fouls on you. He starts to get you in trouble, and then he starts to turn on you. If you give him space, he beats you. If you double team him, he's good at passing. And there's just really no way around guarding a player like Saka. Yeah. I don't know what the U.S. is going to do, but I do think the U.S. is not going to sit back. They're not going to do the low block. They're going to go after England, and I do think it will be. I could see a 2-2 happening, but it feels like a 2-1 for the U.S. or a 3-2.
Let's go.
I'd love a 1-0. I'd eat up a 1-0.
Look, at 1-0 after having the lead for most of the game against Wales, don't feel confident about a 1-0. But getting a point here, I think, obviously it's not a guarantee, but getting a point here is
puts us in the driver's
seat. And we can move into the knockout round. So,
can I say something? I did a video earlier with Boovy. We probably know him from the kickoff previously. He's the Manchester City fan. And I also did a video with Owen of the United View. Flex is out in Qatar celebrating with all his new Saudi friends. I don't know if you saw the video.
I did see that, yeah. Though.
It's hilarious. So I didn't get a chance to do the video with him. But both Owen and Boovy said the same result prediction. Do you want to hear what it is?
Yes, I would love to.
I'm going to ask you to grab the table in front of you because you are about to be very upset. Mm-hmm. 4-0.
4-0. Yeah. That's what Jamal is saying in our Instagram comments as well.
The undeserved confidence they have from beating Iran.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is absolutely insane to all of a sudden be a team that could put it together. Look, I will go down saying the U.S. will win, and I believe they can. There's obviously a very real possibility we lose, but to go down 4-0, crazy. No. And if it happens, then I'm going to go back on those channels. I'm going to have to do my words. I'm going to have to do
I don't know
that they somehow cheated.
We're not getting 4-0. No, it's not going to be that kind of game. Let them have their confidence. They're supposed to win. That's it. It's more embarrassing if they drop points. There's no pressure.
Oh, it's incredibly embarrassing.
There's no pressure on the U.S. Not at all.
Owen made a good point. Owen said if they lose to the U.S., the media will treat it like it's the worst loss in international history for England. And don't you want to see that?
Yeah,
don't you
want to see that? This is when I want to see the English media do their thing. Okay. Yeah. Don't hold back.
This is when we want your toxicity, bro.
be problematic, okay? Make sure throw in a couple words about the king or the the family, Prince William. Do something. Have fun,
bro. Bring up players and ask if they're actually English. You know,
that's what we need to do. And specifically the white ones. That's what we want. Okay, throw a little curveball out there.
Question everything, England, bro. I want that moment. So I want America to win. Not even just about advancing. I will say this. And they both asked me this question, and it was like, interesting because I never really thought past this game. Let's say we get points from this game. We somehow make it out of the group, which I do believe we will finish in second. Have we beat Wales? I believe we finished top of the group. But let's say we come out of the group How far do you think the U.S. goes?
I guess, yeah, depend on who they would end up playing. I mean,
regardless, like, where would you be happy with?
Out in the quarterfinal, I would be proud of that World Cup.
16, if we win the first knockout game, I'm fine.
Yeah, same. Yeah, that's how I would. I think too. I think that is the not expectation, but that is the thing. You know, even Greg Berhalter, even at the when we were at the roster reveal, he was asked the same question, and he basically said, "Get out of the group." That's the mission for the national team, especially after missing the World Cup in 2018 to getting out of the group is a step in the right direction. So, but I think we can do a little bit better than that. I'm a little concerned, you know, small injury to Weston McKennie. He didn't look, completely fit and sharp. So I think that is.
I don't think he's listed as a doubt.
No, because he played the game. He had a wrap around his hamstring and like
Harry Maguire's listed as doubtful, which hurts America. He's got to play.
No, he got to play. We need him. We need him there.
Bro, we need that calamity there.
So, so look, gonna be an exciting game. And again, join us at OSNYC.
Callum Wilson is also listed as doubtful. By the way, do you want to know why?
Why?
Physical discomfort.
Damn, bro, I've been there.
I know. Man, how bad is the cot you're sleeping on, my G?
Okay, dude. Why would you have some bad wings in Qatar? Damn, I've been there. No.
I don't know what's wrong, but I just physically feel uncomfortable. And like, well, write it down.
Okay, so we should wrap up. We've been going on a little bit long. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us. The Cooligans World Cup Daily. And as a reminder, follow us on all socials at Soccer Cooligans. Especially Instagram stories, we do a lot of stuff there, and on Twitter, always putting out a bunch of bangers on there. So let your friends know. There's a lot of new people getting involved in the World Cup. Maybe they want to learn a little more. Maybe they want to laugh a little bit throughout the tournament. This is the podcast for them. So make sure you let them know about the Cooligans. We will be back Friday after the U.S. England game with another show, so make sure to stick around for that that reaction of us celebrating.
Pop a champagne.
embarrassing our colonizers. Okay, so it's gonna be
the opposite of what Spain and Costa Rica was.
So it's gonna be really, really fun. Thank you so much for hanging out with us every day throughout this World Cup. Have a very good Thanksgiving as well if you choose to celebrate.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That's right. And also, this is nice to see on the calendars on Friday, Native American Heritage Day. So you love the recognition, so
go buy a flat screen TV on Native American Heritage Day.
We got to rebrand it, Black Friday. Yeah. That's it. It's a much better name. So enjoy your holiday break, and we'll see you after that. And yeah, let's go USA. US England's gonna be absolutely wild. We'll be there at OSNYC. Come through if you are in New York City or in the.
I'm hanging out completely free. Great drinks. Yeah. It's just a hang.
It'll be dope. All right. We'll see you on Friday, everybody. Peace.
At Merrill West Credit Union, we're working towards a brighter financial future for both our members and our community, knowing that when you succeed, we all succeed. Let's get acquainted with our premier savings for new members, now paying over 20 times the national average. Another great reason to move your money to a credit union. Learn more at MerrillWest.com/premier savings. Merrill West Credit Union, working for you. Today, tomorrow, together. Insured by NCUA.